I invite you to open your Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I want to take you on a journey tonight, but the good news is it's going to revolve around this one passage. And I promise you that at various points through this message, we're going to come back to this passage. But I invite you to go on a journey with me, and it's about understandings of what this passage teaches. What does it mean? And it's speaking about Lydia, how Paul and Silas, Paul and his company, were traveling in Asia Minor. And they would try to go into places like Bithynia, but the scripture says that the Spirit prevented them. And Paul at Troas had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come on over." And his understanding of that vision was that God was telling him to go over the Aegean Sea into Macedonia and Greece and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he was very obedient. And he came to Philippi, this foremost city of the area in Macedonia. And then where he is introduced, or he finds Lydia and teaches her about Jesus, and she becomes a Christian. But it said in Acts 16, verse 14, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us," and it's talking about Paul and Silas here. "She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." It's that last sentence that has been debated through the years. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And the question that the debate centers around is, how did the Lord open her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul? Let's begin this journey by noting what a man by the name of John Calvin taught, the origin of Calvinism. The old Calvinistic doctrine, one of the major tenets of it is known as hereditary total depravity. That a baby is born totally depraved into the world. After the initial fall of Adam and Eve in the garden of Genesis chapter 3, this doctrine suggests that man, ever since then, is spiritually dead. He's blind and deaf, if you will, to the things of God. He's thus completely unable to do anything good. He could not even believe in God if he wanted to, according to this doctrine. Accordingly, the Calvinistic theory requires that there be an influence of the Spirit distinct, separate, and apart from the truth, which is necessary to prepare the minds of men for the reception of the truth. So let me go ahead and make this point. That according to this teaching, they're suggesting that when it says the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, that that was an operation, a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon her heart in order for her to receive the truth. Calvin understood that one must have a personal experience of the inner witness of the Holy Spirit before he could accept the Scriptures as being the Word of God and thus be converted. Here's a quote from one of his books, Institutes of Christian Religion. He wrote, "Just as God alone is a fitting witness concerning himself and his utterance, his words, so also the utterance will not find faith in the hearts of men before it is sealed by the inner witness of the Spirit. The same Spirit, therefore, who spoke by the mouth of the prophets must of necessity penetrate our hearts to persuade us that what was divinely commanded has been faithfully published." If you follow this doctrine on out, it makes the whole basis of faith dependent upon an inward subjective experience believed to be the work of the Holy Spirit. By the way, in the 19th century, this teaching, as it was brought out to some conclusions, became the source of a lot of experiential religion on the American frontier during the 19th century. People were invited to come to a mourner's bench seeking the Holy Spirit. And they were instructed to pray through, and when they had prayed through, evidence of this would be some spiritual exercises, which may be fainting, barking, or speaking in tongues, as it was called, all thought to be a part of the Holy Spirit's work in conversion. And all this grew out of John Calvin's teaching that in order for one to be able to accept the truth of God's Word, the Holy Spirit had to work directly on that person's heart. Charles Hodge, not the preacher that some of us know from Texas, but a different, this one is a renowned Presbyterian scholar, used this analogy explaining John Calvin's teaching. He said the truth is compared to light, which is absolutely necessary to vision, but if the eye be closed or blind, it must be opened or restored before the light can produce its proper impression. Advocates of this position would state that it's the Holy Spirit of God which opens the heart so that the light can come in. Charles Hodge gives this passage, told you I was coming back to it, Acts 16 verse 14, as proof of this teaching. That the Lord opening the heart of Lydia to heed the things spoken by Paul is an example of this direct operation of the Holy Spirit in before she could receive the word. I come back to the question, how did the Lord open her heart? Did it require a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on her heart before she could accept the good news? And if so, is that what's needed today before one can accept, believe, and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? I've told you what John Calvin advocated, but let's look at Lydia a little more closely. First of all, as you study about Lydia, all that we know about her in Acts chapter 16, I think we'll find this, number one, that Lydia certainly does not give evidence of the character of one who is totally depraved. Let me share with you a little bit more about what is said about Lydia. Verse 13. This is after Paul and his company have arrived in Philippi, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there, and Lydia is one of those. So what's she doing on the Sabbath day? She's met with some other women to pray. Sounds like a godly woman, doesn't it? Verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. We'll talk about that word heard in just a moment. She was a seller of purple, which history tells us that she was probably of some means. And it tells us that she's from the city of Thyatira. So she's probably in Philippi on business, but a successful businesswoman. But a believer in God, because Luke records for us that she worshiped God. Then it says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. She's described as one who worshiped God, and that word is in the present tense, which means that her worshipful disposition was a habitual characteristic of this lady. In other words, the verb gives the idea that this was something she continued to do regularly. It's hardly a sketch of one who could do nothing good. Lydia had obviously become a proselyte to the Jewish religion. Therefore, on the Sabbath, she's come down by the riverside to pray with these women. A good woman, doing the best she knew how to do, though as yet she did not know about Jesus. The second thing the scripture teaches us is that her heart was opened. Specifically that the Lord opened her heart. And the heart here is a figurative usage of the term. We know it doesn't mean the organ within a person's body that pumps blood. We understand the heart to refer often in scripture to the intellect. With the heart, man perceives, John 12:40. With the heart, man thinks. With the heart, man understands. With the heart, man reasons. With the heart, man believes, Romans 10, verse 10. Speaking of a person's intellect, So when it says her heart was opened, is that not simply saying that she came to an understanding of and a belief in the message under consideration? Her heart was opened. She understood and she heeded. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But how? Again, I ask, how was her heart opened? How did the Lord open this noble woman's heart? Was it by the miracle of some direct operation of the Holy Spirit distinct from the truth? Or is there another explanation? Let me ask a few questions. Number one, from where does faith come? From where does faith come? And I'm going to give you a Bible answer. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's how we arrive at faith and grow in our faith. There are some things we may see and understand about God out in nature, but as far as believing and trusting Him and knowing who He is, we find that from the Word of God. And we accept it by faith. Question number two. Is faith produced or increased every time the Word of God is preached? I'd love to say yes. But the answer is no. How many places could we turn in the Scriptures? Even in the book of Acts, where the gospel is preached, some readily accepted His word and were baptized, Acts 2:41. 3,000 on that day. There were more people in Jerusalem on that day. And there are even direct references to how many rejected the message of the gospel. Not every time the gospel was preached was it received in faith. Faith isn't produced or increased every time the Word of God is preached. Number three, if faith is not produced every time the Word of God is preached, then why not? Did God fail or refuse to provide a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon that person's heart or for that group of people? And what would that say about God? Remember, God wants all people to be saved. And if what it takes is a direct operation of the Holy Spirit when the Word is preached for it to be accepted, why doesn't He do that in every case? Or is there another reason why faith is not produced in every person who hears the Word of God? I think there is. But I'm going to look to Jesus for an answer. Let's go back to our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 in a very familiar parable. Matthew chapter 13. And we want to read the parable and then read Jesus' explanation. And then let's see if it applies to our discussion tonight. Matthew chapter 13. We could read in Mark and Luke, but only in 13 tonight. Beginning in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got out into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Went to the lectureship, as many of you know, at Faulkner University last week. And the theme was the parables. So you knew I had to throw in the parables somewhere here. And two of the presenters gave pictures of a place on the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Cove of the Parables. It is believed to be at least a possible spot because of the lay of the land, and it showed a little cove in the sea, but there is a gentle slope going up a hillside where they say it just makes for a natural amphitheater, where a person like Jesus could sit out in a boat just off shore and be able to speak, and many, many people would be able to hear. Was that the spot where Jesus spoke about this parable? We don't know for sure, but it could have been. But this is the parable that he spoke on that occasion. Then he spoke many things, verse 3, many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower or a farmer went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Verse 18. Therefore, Jesus explains, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Jesus gave the parable of the sower to show the work that the apostles would be engaged in as they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. The seed, Jesus makes it clear, is the Word of God. And what do the soils represent? You know this. It represents the hearts of the people. The wayside soil, the rocky soil, which was explained to me last week, again, that this wasn't what I had often envisioned of a place where there were just a lot of rocks and it would be difficult to plow up the land and plant the seed. But the word used here apparently is one of a ledge of rock. And what's probably being indicated here is a thin layer of soil with a ledge of rock. And you could see where a seed planted in that thin soil would quickly arise. But when the sun came out and the plant would be scorched, not just because of the heat of the sun, but that bedrock beneath it would also hold that heat, causing that plant to be unable to survive. But that represents a heart of people. As does the thorny soil, the heart that's just so crowded with the cares of this world that it chokes out the seed so that it can't bear fruit. And then the good soil, representing the good heart. Having read through that parable, let's go back to our questions. From where does faith come? It comes from the Word of God. Is faith produced or increased every time the Word of God is preached? Unfortunately, no. Third question, why not? I believe the answer is this. It depends upon a person's heart. It depends upon the soil. Isn't that what Jesus was teaching? He's speaking to his disciples also from this boat just off the shore in the Sea of Galilee. And isn't he teaching them, as you go out and sow the seed of the kingdom, the seed is going to fall into different types of hearts. And some are going to embrace it, and some are going to embrace it quickly, but then because their roots don't go deep, it's not going to bear fruit. Or others are going to be choked out with other concerns in the world, but then there's that good soil that's going to receive the seed, the word of God, and it's going to produce fruit. They're going to become Christians, and they're going to live faithfully to God. But the reason why faith isn't produced or increased every time the Word of God is preached is because it depends upon a person's heart. Luke 8:15. In Luke's version, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. You see, a new plant is generated when the seed is received into the heart of man. This is the process of conversion. The seed of the kingdom, the word of God, falls into good and honest hearts. This is what makes a Christian. Now, what about Lydia? Coming back to Lydia. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She heard Paul preaching about Jesus. She was hearing the word of God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. How did the Lord open her heart? Did he provide a direct operation of the Holy Spirit for her to receive the gospel? I suggest this is the answer. Paul planted the seed. Paul planted the seed, just like Jesus instructed his disciples to do. Paul planted the seed. He preached the good news about Jesus. And yes, I believe the Holy Spirit was involved in Lydia's conversion, but it was through the preaching of the gospel. Because when you go to the scriptures, other scriptures, the New Testament repeatedly affirms that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, Romans 1:16. It's by the preaching of the gospel message that people are saved. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word, by which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain." So how did the Lord open her heart? I believe in looking at her situation and all the conversions, what harmonizes to me was that it was by the power of the gospel message that Lydia's heart was open. Luke records Lydia heard us. We're going back to Acts 16:14 again. Lydia heard us. And we may miss it with our English translations, but I'm told that this word heard is in the imperfect tense, which simply means her attention was riveted upon the instruction of Paul and his companions. She was listening intently is the idea. And this is the very exact opposite of what was demanded by Calvinism. Calvinism would suggest that one cannot give honest attention to the word unless the Lord first opens the heart. But that's not what we see here. She's riveted, wanting to know, wanting to understand what is this message that Paul is presenting. And the design here, the reason it says that the Lord opened her heart, was to give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul. How did she give heed? In that she was obedient to the message. And she and all her family were baptized. One of the main reasons I reached this conclusion, that it was not a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on her heart so that she could receive the word, but that it was the word, the seed being planted in her heart, is this. If one cannot respond to the gospel until the Lord, by a supernatural influence of the Spirit, opens his heart, who will be responsible if his heart is never opened? And the answer to that, it would have to be God. The Calvinistic doctrine, as I understand it, reflects upon the justice of God. God works through his preached word to open the hearts of those who are lost. So here's my conclusion. In the conversion of a sinner, the Holy Spirit works through the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the agent, The Word is the instrument which the Holy Spirit uses. That's why in every case of conversion, the gospel was preached. In every case. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. That's why the Holy Spirit uses it to convict and convert the sinner. And those who obey the gospel, those who receive it, believe it, and obey it, are those whose hearts are receptive to the seed. Those whose hearts are what Jesus described in the parable of the sower. Those noble and good hearts who, when they hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. I suggest to you, that's the type of heart that Lydia had. A good, noble heart that was receptive to the seed, the gospel, and it produced fruit in her life. I suggest to you, that's the type of hearts of those who obey the gospel on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Those who received his word and were baptized were those noble and good hearts who were receptive to the seed. It's the type of heart that the Ethiopian had in Acts chapter 8. He was searching for truth. He was a religious man, very religious. He traveled all the way to Jerusalem from Ethiopia and was on his way back, still reading his Bible, searching for the truth. He was receptive when Philip preached Jesus unto him. It was the type of soil that was in Saul's heart after he'd been confronted by Christ. And Saul plowed up his heart then, didn't he? When he realized he'd been persecuting the Son of God. And as his heart was plowed up in that sense, it was receptive to the seed. It's the same type of heart that Cornelius had. A good man, generous, gave help, financial help to those who needed it. Prayed to God always. But God said he needed to hear about Jesus. And when he did, he received the gospel into his heart and obeyed it. That brings us to this. How's your heart? The seed hasn't lost its power. The word hasn't lost its power. It'll produce Christians today just like it did in the first century. Whether or not it produces that kind of fruit in our lives depends upon our hearts. Our hearts. Are we receptive? Do we have that noble and good heart? Will we hear it, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop? If you've not obeyed the gospel, our hope and prayer is that your heart will be a good and noble heart that will receive the seed and that you will act upon that message by placing your faith and trust in Jesus, by turning from sin and repentance, confessing his name and being baptized into Christ. That's what good and noble hearts did with the gospel in the book of Acts. And it's by persevering that we produce a good crop. It's by continuing to receive that seed into our hearts and allowing God's word to permeate our hearts and minds, and then we put it into action that we produce the crop that God wants. And perhaps some of us need to refocus on having that type of heart that's receptive to the word of God. If you need the prayers of the church tonight, or if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray that you'll come right now as we stand and sing.